plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
All right, I'd like to welcome to the Love in Reality podcast from The Mole Season 1 and, of course, can be recently seen on Netflix's Battle Camp. Avery, how are you doing today?
I've been better, but I'm good. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been a huge fan, kind of on the sidelines, obviously, with The Mole Season 1. I've been in and out of you stream quite a bit, been in and out of your stream. We've chatted here and there, and I just knew that once I saw your name pop up on the show that I was finally going to have the opportunity to reach out and say we needed to chat. So I'm very, very excited to chat with you today.
Likewise. Thank you for all the content that you've created around the shows and stuff. I really appreciate your creativity and like how you follow everything. It's really cool.
I appreciate that. And as we dive in, my big thing is there was the 2 or 3 year gap, right, between The Mole and Battle Camp-ish. Did you come close to being on any other shows between that time frame?
Yeah, so I actually got cast on, or almost cast on The Circle, season 6, which would have been QT season. It's so funny. I got to the final round of casting, and they were like, we're not going to put you through on this, but hang tight for a couple months. And then a couple months later, I got the call for Battle Camp. I actually got fully cast on Beast Games, and Netflix was like, it's another competition reality show. We don't want you to go on 2 at the same time. So they didn't want me to go, which I was kind of sad about. But after hearing what happened there, I was like, maybe it was kind of a blessing that I didn't go.
So. I think you were the first person that I saw come out and talk about that, because I remember when like all the controversy had came, because obviously as a creator, you hear everything obviously in your space and stuff like that. So that's definitely interesting. So obviously that happens. Talk to us about the Battle Camp, the casting, hearing about it, getting the call and the confirmation.
Yeah. So I think they interviewed literally every all-star from other shows, and I don't know how they chose the cast. It was very random. Like even from the cast perspective, we're all like, okay, like this is cool. We're all from such like unique and different shows, but from a gameplay perspective, I just knew as soon as I saw the starting cast, I was like, I'm going to get voted out, because nobody else's show had aired except for Lorenzo, Trey, and who was the other one? Shubi. That's the only people that were in a competition reality show before. And I was like, everyone thinks because of the edit that I screwed over Pranav in The Mole, which I didn't. And so my first interaction with people was like damage control. I was like, no, guys, like I never screwed him over. They edited it to make it look that way. Like, I've got your back. And so that was really hard, like from day one, being a competitive person and then also having that like track record of screwing over your ally, which I never did. So just damage control from day one.
Yeah. And to touch on that a little bit, you're a very strategic player, right? You're very strategic watching you on The Mole. Obviously you also play video games, which you're also very strategic in as well.
Yeah.
How was it trying to navigate how much you wanted to like be at the forefront, especially when you look at these cast members from love-based shows, reality shows, like you're coming from this different background. How does that affect how you strategically approach Battle Camp?
Yeah, I mean, I said it in my beginning interview. I wanted to lay low and kind of coast, and I think I did. You know, you see me in episode 1, everyone votes for me, obviously, because I won the punishment. My reputation preceded me. And other than that, like we were there for seriously less than 48 hours. Like no one had anything to go off of other than we know her from The Mole and she won the punishment. So it was just like a no-brainer. And I totally understand that. And I didn't hold that past anyone. After I made it past the first wheel, I was like, you know what? I'm wiping the slate clean. Everyone apologized to me. And I was like, guys, like it's a game, really. It's not a big deal. But it was very tough to navigate because I wanted to be a very background character, but I knew that I needed to strategize that.
Yeah. So rewinding just a hair, take some, I love the behind the scenes aspect. What's it like kind of walking into camp? What do we, obviously from what we see, we're all on this camp bus with this. Is that how you find out about your team? When do you find out about kind of the rules of the lay of the land and stuff like that?
Yeah, we didn't know anything. So we actually filmed us getting on the bus, and then they sent us back to our hotels for like a day and a half. And then we filmed, you know, meeting the rest of the cast separately. So it seemed like it was a long time, like getting on the bus and then doing the challenge and then the punishment, like seemed like a long time. It was literally less than 48 hours. I probably like in total from the moment that we started challenge one, it was maybe 30 hours total to, you know, state your place in the game and try and get votes off of you, which I literally didn't even try. I was like, there's no time for me to even fight for my place here. They just went for it.
So early on, obviously, you see your team. What's your initial thought about your fellow team members, and how did you feel about that going into that first challenge?
Obsessed. I told production, they were like, is there anyone that you want to see here? And obviously a QT show hadn't aired yet. And I had never watched Selling the OC. So they were like, is there anyone that you're wanting to see her? And I said, if Shubi is not on my team, I will literally leave. Not really, but I was so excited to see him. And when I got off of the bus and back into the hands of like the welfare team, I was like, yes, yes, yes. Like I was celebrating because I was just ecstatic. I knew him and I were going to be such good friends.
Yeah. Talk to me about those first conversations, right? You're getting ready to go from, obviously you guys arrive and then the challenge is almost immediate. I think it was, right? So
yeah.
What's the strategy almost like as you're like moving from the opening moments to that challenge and those conversations like?
Yeah. I mean, we barely had any time to like think about it. They said that one challenge was balance, one was math, one was endurance, and one was strength. And so we kind of all got into a group and we were like, okay, who's good at what? I was like, I'm good at balancing. And then Gio was like, I can do strength or endurance. And QT was like, I'm good at math. So we kind of went back and forth between like Shubi and Gio, either doing like the strength and endurance. And ultimately, I think Shubi said, you know, I feel comfortable doing the strength one. And honestly, I think he crushed it. The thing that messed Shubi up the most is he kept pulling up the wrong team's flags. And it was, okay, this is such a Shubi thing, but I just have to give you this behind the scenes of the whole thing. He literally, I was like, Shubi, you have to toss the other team's flags back into the water. He was like telling us, he's like, if I pull up the wrong flag, I'm going to keep it on board. I was like, no, Shubi, you've got to toss it back in the water. I was like, this is a game. You got to play strategy. And he was like, no, I'm just going to keep it on board. Like, I feel bad. And so I don't remember if he actually did do that, but like, if he did, he gave the other teams such an advantage because he ended up pulling up everyone's flag. Like literally, I think he did throw them back in the water, but it was just the most adorable Shubi comment ever for him to want to keep the flags on the dock.
It is. And he's such a fun like person to watch on the show, right? You know what I mean? Because you know he's not going to be the most competitive in some aspects of the strength and all that. But I think that's what made this show kind of unique, right? Because then we have, you can be so good at the game. However, if you're really, really good, then your name's going to end up on that wheel. Talk to me about the wheel, right? What did you guys know about the wheel that first time you go to the wheel? Anything like that you can talk to us about?
I mean, they didn't tell us anything. After the first competition, they said, you know, this team won, and the other team is at risk of elimination. And the team that was like in the middle is still at risk, but not as bad. They didn't tell us anything about a wheel or a names going up. Like, you guys got the inside scoop on the wheel before we even did. So we were like, well, what does this mean? Because we know we're not safe. You know, Bears got second place. So we were like, so we know we're not like immediately going home. We know we're not safe. Like, what does this mean? And then at the wheel, they tell us. And it was just like, for me, I was ticked. I was like, are you kidding me? I could do everything right. And like this wheel just spins and lands on me. That's so dumb. But now looking back on it, I'm like, I kind of love it. I think the wheel really does do what it's supposed to do. And it I does. Got my karma.
Well, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But to me, I think that's what the interesting aspect of the show, because early on, though, if you won the competitions, your name were like completely off the wheel. You know what I mean? Like you yeah. were completely off of it. And obviously you guys go on one hell of a run early on with those wins. What was that like for you guys?
Amazing. I mean, the Bears were just the team that nobody expected to win. The first challenge was so physical, and had the Eagles not dropped the flag, I mean, we would have been dead last. We were clearly at a physical disadvantage. And I just think no one really expected us to come out on top every single time, again and again and again, no matter what it was. I mean, there were physical things, there were mental things, there was, you know, acting things out, and we just kept winning and we never turned on each other. And I think that the Bears were like the heart and soul of the show, which is why I totally get why people were so heartbroken over episode 6. I was heartbroken because I felt that the Bears were like the heart of this show.
Absolutely. It was crazy because obviously once ever you split the teams up, then things got interesting. But before we go there, early on, was there someone that kind of maybe surprised you competitive-wise that you kind of didn't expect to see coming on the surface?
I mean, I was shocked at how good at swimming Georgia was. That was like, the girl took off. Like, right before we went into the challenge, because the balance group was first, I was like kneeled over, like breathing, because I just knew that like this was going to be challenging for me. Like I swim, but I don't love swimming. I don't love the water. I get like scared that a shark is going to like bite my foot or something. It's just not my strong suit, but I'll do it. You know, I'll do anything for a good competition. But I was sitting there like kind of kneeled over, like breathing, like, you know, and Irina and Georgia both were like, "Avery, you're so intimidating." And I was like, "Really?" And they were like, "Yeah, like you look like you're gonna like kill someone right now." I was like, "No, I'm just really nervous." And they didn't believe me. They thought that I was like sitting there like strategizing, like about to just dominate the competition. But really, I was like almost hyperventilating. Like I hate wetsuits. I hate cold water. It was freezing. I did not want to get in. I didn't want to be wet. And it just was like, I was just scared. Like I just did not want to do this.
Yeah, Georgia to me, like throughout the entire show, I was just like, who is this person? Like, yeah. You wouldn't have expected in a million years for her to be, and nothing against her, you know, but it's just, I didn't expect that from her in a lot of the competitions throughout the entirety of the show. Obviously, we talk a little bit more about the wheel. The wheel is such an interesting part of this game. What was the atmosphere like when Gabby goes home, right? Her name is on the wheel literally one time. Did that kind of make you guys realize a little bit more so that just having it up there once, it's as dangerous as it ever could been?
That just made everything so real. Like up until that point, the people that went home, their name was on the wheel so many times. Like I think Lexi's was on there 7 times. Irina's was on there 11. And then when it landed on Gabby, we were like, oh my gosh, like if you vote for someone, you better know that they might go home. Or if you put someone up for punishment, you better know they might actually go. And so I think everyone just realized how serious the wheel is and that you got to protect your people if you really want them to stay in this game. So, yeah.
Yeah. And speak a little bit about that, right? The competitive nature of the show. Obviously, Trey has come out as one of the bigger villains of the show. And we'll talk a little bit more about him towards your elimination. But like Trey, you know, played the game, I think, pretty great. You know what I mean? He became such a villain and unexpected, because this is a guy that, you know, we got to know to love with him and his mom on Squid Game. And you see the opposite. And Lorenzo was the complete opposite of what we saw in Squid Game. And I think that definitely brought an interesting dynamic. But what's the conversations like that we don't see, right? You know what I mean? There's hours upon hours of filming and obviously edited. What's it like kind of strategizing in between the challenges and some of the stuff we don't see?
Yeah, specifically with Trey, for me, I was really excited when I saw him because I was like, I know he's a good player and I wanted to team up with him. So I actually pulled him aside before the first wheel spin. And I was like, I'm so excited that you're here. Like, let's create an alliance. And of course, this was when the Bears had lost and the Wolves were on top. They had the power. And I say this in every game, it's fine if you want to create an alliance with someone, but always do it when you're on top, because if you do it while they're on top, it doesn't come across as genuine. But it was genuine for me. Like, I loved him and I really wanted to create this alliance. And so he was like, yes, he's like, let's do it. And the Bears in that moment created an alliance with the Wolves. Like, our whole team created this alliance. And so when the punishment came and I was put up for punishment, I was so confused. I was like, we just made an alliance. And this was the start for me and Trey's conflict, because I was like, how are you going to put me up for punishment when we literally just talked about this? And after the punishment, I forgave him. We talked again. And I said, you know what? I understand. You have to do what you have to do. And he basically told me that he didn't feel like he could go against his team. That's like what everyone was going for. And so he, you know, he had to like bend to his team. And I was like, you know what? I won. It's fine. My name's off the wheel. Don't even stress. And he grabbed my hand, shook it, looked me in my eyes. And he was like, I promise you, I will not vote for you. And then he voted for me. So actually, it seems like I was really, really mad that he voted for Louis, which I was like, that's snaky. But the thing I was most upset about with Trey was actually that he betrayed me twice. In real life, though, I just want to make this so clear. I absolutely like love and adore him. And I absolutely loved watching his perspective back, because it made me truly understand where he was coming from. Like, I feel like I got this inside look into his strategy, and I was like, no, like, respect. I actually loved how he played this. So,
yeah, he was fantastic. Like, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's so many different moves that he made that it was just like, yeah, I mean, the guy's literally fighting for his life. I mean, and at the end of the day, I think that's one thing that people forget about. First off, A, this was a competition. Two, we're playing for money. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
a good chunk of money here, like, that we're competing for to try to win. I think people forget about that. And this is kind of, we've seen it with the mole, we see it with the trust, we see it with the $1 million secret, we see it with those different, but this is like the first time the Netflix reality world is getting a challenge-like show brought to the universe, something I've been begging for years. Not to say that I don't love the love shows or Too Hot to Handles, but this is something I've been pleading with for many years, because it utilizes all of you guys in this universe to come together and bring this different battles. Obviously, we're going to talk about the hot topic, right? The battle between you and QD. I've seen the stories. I've seen you talk about it a little bit here and there. I've seen you guys together. We're all kumbaya. Yeah. But let's talk to us about the competition, the not throwing, the throwing of it.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Talk to us what it was like in that moment, and then, of course, even watching it back.
Yeah. So firstly, before I say anything, I just have to say there is no one like QT. She is the most level-headed, most forgiving, like, sweetest person I've ever met. And I feel so, so bad. I just want that to be clear. I do want to explain my side, but I don't want that to come across as, like, you know, me defending myself or thinking that I was in the right, because I was so in the wrong. From my perspective, throwing the competition was not a foreign concept. After I won the punishment episode one, there were multiple people that came up to me and they were like, you should have thrown, because you put a huge target on your back. So throwing the competition, I mean, there was talk about doing that around camp. It wasn't a foreign concept. Everyone knew that when you look strong, you have a target on your back. So that didn't come across in the edit, but that was something that everyone knew. Secondly, I have to be very careful about how I say this because I don't feel like any of my castmates deserve to be roped into the hate that I'm getting right now. I wasn't the only one, though, that really, really thought this. And I was wrong, for sure. But in the moment, it was so convincing. I mean, her walking into the bathroom going, man, I thought Shuby was going to win it for us. I was like, yeah, that's why you threw, because you thought he was going to win it for us. And then people are saying, like, you know, why did you think that QT threw and Shuby didn't? Shuby was like puking that day. He was so sick. I thought that he was just still sick and it was like messing with his head. I don't remember exactly what was wrong with him, but he was like, he was very sick that day. And that's why I thought that he threw, or that he didn't throw. Secondly, they did a very good job at villainizing me, I will say. And it wasn't all the edit. I definitely thought that she threw, but I just hope that the viewers can take a moment to think about this. If I genuinely was gunning for her, like the edit showed, and I genuinely wanted her out, wouldn't I have voted for her? Wouldn't there be any footage of all at all of me saying to anyone, hey, like, vote for QT, she sabotaged? Do you know what I'm saying? There is no footage of me saying that. I believed that she sabotaged, but in my heart, in my mind, me telling people that I was suspicious of that or that I believed that she did that wasn't me campaigning against her. It was just me bringing light and trying to figure out from other people, like, do you think this? Like, how are we sitting on this? And I truly believed it. And my mouth is always what gets me in trouble. And I should not have said anything at all. I should have kept it to me, watched and observed more. Instead, I decided to go around camp. That was on me. But the edit definitely made it seem like I was gunning for her. And there are little signs, if you really look, that show you that it was not my intention to get everyone to vote for her. It was just my intention to, you know, bring light to what could have happened there, because she's so smart. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. I was like, there's no way. But I was wrong. So, yeah.
I did see something in your story that I thought was intriguing today was the battle of Trey, right? We see the wheel, and obviously Trey gets the last laugh because the two people that call him out the most in this moment, obviously, was you and Gio. And I love the fact that, to me, because I'm a big fan of Selling the OC. So like I appreciated Gio, who he always stood in business. And then it was like, who voted for him? And G was like, me, I did. Like, no questions asked. It was me. Talk to me about what's going through your head there. Was there more to this than we kind of saw? Because
yes.
It felt almost clipped to a weird extent, because I was like, Trey is this villain. We're not getting a conversation between, more of a conversation between him and Gio, you and Trey. What's going on in this moment that you can tell us?
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad, first of all, that you caught on to this, because I had like panic attacks over this scene because it obviously was intense. And I am not the type of person to be like, oh, it was the edit. Like, I own up to my stuff. Okay. I messed up. I looked dumb. Like, I will take that to my grave. And honestly, watching it back, I literally teared up seeing QT's face for the first time. She was behind me and then in front of me. And when I saw her face, it's like, you could see the hurt. Like, I have chills right now talking about it because, like, I've been bullied before and it felt like, it just felt very much like that. I can say from my perspective, my intentions were so pure. Like, I genuinely believed that she stabbed me in the back first. And so that's why you hear me say it. I played a fair and honest game, because in my mind, you know, I wasn't campaigning against her. I was bringing light to something that I thought that she did and she didn't. So the wheel is what hurt me the most about the edit, because I'll just say I definitely obviously had conflict with QT, but it did not go down in that exact way. Actually, pretty far from that, in my opinion. My conflict with Trey was much longer than my conflict with QT.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I don't get why they did that.
Because again, as we said, like, there's difference. Like, when we talk about certain eliminations, right, there's a lot of emotional eliminations throughout the entirety of this show, right? You know what I mean? Early on, the Lexi, the Irinas, you know what I mean? There was a lot of gameplay that these people have never played this style of game before. You know what I mean? We're coming from a love-based show. You're coming from that dynamic. And you're talking about a couple people that have got a lot of hate, you know what I mean, in their past because of the reality TV actions. But to me, watching this entire thing, it was a chef's kiss from Trey. I even asked Trey about it, right? You know, I interviewed Trey. Trey was like, it was the moment. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, it was beautiful. Gio and you. And to me, even his response there, I felt it a little bit more because you don't see a lot of conflict between you two, but you know that there's conflict there because it was kind of in between the scenes. You know what I mean?
They deleted it. And then they pasted my conversation with Trey over some of my conversation with QT. So they just deleted that. And then another thing that I noticed is when Taylor Lewan goes, does anyone want to admit to voting for Trey? Gio raised his hand. I stayed silent. And then Taylor goes, Avery, did you vote for Gio? And I go, I did. Because I wasn't going to lie, but I also wasn't going to be like, I voted for him. And I think it's so crazy that they make it seem like I was like so boisterous and so confident and so like, yeah, I did. And the faces I was making when I was like, those were over like a different part of the conversation that never made it into the cut. It just is like, so it's just like, I get it. And I'm not trying to make myself look better at all. Like I totally get it. I fumbled, like I messed up and I went against the one person probably who had my back. I just genuinely believed that she threw, like really, like the signs for me were there. And I don't know what else to say about that, but I do think that the producers went to great lengths to push it further and make it even worse than it was. Even, I really hope that the viewers caught on to like that splice paste edit of me cutting QT off. I was like, I asked my cast, because we had our premiere party, everyone that was in that cabin, I asked them, I'm like, do you guys remember that going down that way? And they were like, no. So...
yeah,
I got the villain edit, I guess.
Hey, but. Right, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, obviously, and that's one of the big things of like, even in the conversations, it's like, you know, you want to have those conversations, you want to clear the air on some of the elements of it. Because at the end of the day, like, how long did you shoot for on this?
We were shooting for, it was like 11 days of like kind of like press and stuff like that before we went into camp, and then like 3 weeks in camp.
So, exactly. So, and you shot what, probably almost all day, every day, like you guys stayed
24/7.
Exactly. So, you know, and it takes 24/7, we narrowed it down to 10 episodes, you know, do the math, guys, you know, that's 10 hours of television, about 400 million hours recorded. But a name you kept on bringing up, and I do want to talk about, because I thought that he was a fantastic host. And Taylor Lewan, I thought, was pretty great in what he did. He brought to the table. I thought his funny one-liners, whether they were his or whether they were written for him, I didn't care. They were hilarious. Talk to me about Taylor. What was the dynamic with him, with everybody on the set?
Yeah, I will say with Taylor, I felt so much more connected to him than I did with my mole host. Why is her name slipping me right now? What's her name again?
I'm trying to remember that too now.
It's because we literally, she would come in and say her lines and then leave. Like I never got to know her at all. And with Taylor, he would sit there and hang out and ask us questions. And I was like, this guy's sick. You know, in between scenes, he would like sit down with us. He would like share things with us that he had. Like, for instance, if one of us needed like water or like chapstick or whatever, like he would share with us, which we thought was really cool. And he was just like really nice. So I thought it was cool to have a host that actually took the time to like get to know us and hang out with us, because I don't remember that happening on The Mole.
Yeah, I definitely thought he was good, especially since this was like his first kind of dive into hosting like this, you know, hosting a reality show. Talk to us a little bit about the campsite, the situation, like maybe the living arrangement. Was it as cramped as it looked like? Was it like all of those things, kind of like what you can unpack for us when it comes to the filming aspect of the behind the scenes?
No, honestly, like the only thing that was frustrating was we never really had warm food. That kind of got to me after like so many days. We would film for like crazy hours, and then they would bring me like cold grilled chicken. Like I never had a warm meal and it was freezing. And then the other thing that really was hard to deal with was for the first couple days in camp, I want to say it was like 2 or 3 days. I can't remember exactly, so don't quote me. We didn't have hot water. Like something was wrong and we didn't have hot water. So after that first challenge where we were all in like literally freezing cold wetsuits, then we had to go get into a cold shower and then we ate cold food. And like for me, that just kind of like mentally took a toll on me because I guess I'm so privileged. Like I get to have hot showers every day. And like, I'm a very skinny person. So when I'm cold, it like chills me to my bones. I get like agitated. So that was mentally trying. But other than that, like the camp was so comfortable. The beds were heated. We had our own bed and it was like a queen size. And everything else was like really comfortable. So yeah, I have no complaints about the camp itself.
Yeah, it seemed pretty cozy and stuff like that. So
yeah.
All right. Outside of the kind of the hectic craziness, what was it like watching it back, seeing some of those moments that you didn't know about, or seeing some of the strategies of you've talked about the appreciation of Trey's game and stuff like that. But what was it like kind of watching it from start to finish back yourself?
Yeah, it was just like, honestly, it was really heartbreaking because it started out so great. Sorry. I honestly just wish that I would have handled that situation a little bit better. Watching it back, I just felt so bad for QT, honestly. Like, she's genuinely, she's different. Like, I don't deserve for her to forgive me and be friends with me. And she's hung out with me multiple times since. And she's just so kind and so forgiving. There's a lot of people in my comment section that are saying, like, QT is better than me. I would have never forgiven you. And I'm like, yeah. I feel that. Like I don't know of many people who would. So I'm trying to give myself grace for it, but I'm just so mad at myself for thinking that she sabotaged. It's like in a game of Among Us, you know, you vote out a crewmate and then like the game's over in like 10 minutes and you'd be like, oh, sorry. Like I really thought that it was you. Like I thought you were lying. With this, like it lasts so long, like the game itself, and it gets personal in a weird way. So yeah, I feel so bad. And I'm so mad at myself for putting her in that position, because I think I probably would have survived had I not done that.
And absolutely. And I don't want to speak a little bit about that, obviously. I understand the element of the empathy that you're sharing there. And at the same time, it is a game. I wish people would understand that. It is a game. It is a competition game. You are fighting for money. You made a wrong decision. You regret it. In my opinion, to everybody watching this, go fuck yourselves. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason for you to be mean in the comments or anything like that. Avery made a mistake. It's not that big of a deal. It's a game. And she regrets it and moved the hell on. And we're going to move the hell on. And we're going to talk about some fun. I'm going to do some fun, quick fire questions about the cast of Battle Camp. And we're going to have a little fun here. Most competitive.
Probably me.
Funniest.
Definitely Lorenzo.
Loudest.
Definitely Gabby.
Friendliest.
Also probably Gabby.
Most down to earth.
Morgan.
Messiest.
Me.
Person you'd call to bail yourself out of jail.
Trey. He would understand.
Person you think could win the mole?
Ooh. Honestly, probably QT. I mean, she looks suspicious. That is a great strategy for the mole, but she's also so, so level-headed. And you need that in that game.
Person from the mole you'd like to see on season 2 of Battle Camp?
Oh, Hannah and Pranav. To everyone supporting me and sending me like the kindest messages ever, I literally, I'm going to go off on a tangent for a second. Someone sent me a DM yesterday that said, "You are," and then just an E, because it like cut off, and that was the preview of the message. And I was like, this person like is going to say you're evil. And I opened it, and the person was like, "You're everything. You made the show so entertaining." And I was like, I do not deserve these types of DMs. So I just feel like I let everyone down. But yeah, anyways, that was my tangent. It's like, I just feel bad because there's so many people who are so lovely and so supportive. And I feel like I let everyone down. So.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me on the show today. I don't feel like you let anybody down. That's just me as somebody that has been watching reality TV for like 20 plus years. I'll date myself. But I mean, I remember the good old days of Johnny Fairplay screwing over people, telling him his grandmother was dead. I mean, you know, if Johnny Fairplay could roam the world and be looked upon as one of the greatest reality TV people, I believe in the future, people will look at you the same way. You're awesome. You're amazing. And you shouldn't hold any of this close to your vest, because again, at the end of the day, we're playing for $250,000. But
yeah,
thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you, and thanks for all the content that you make. It's really good.